The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
If we go into another week, thanks for being with us. Hope you had a great sports weekend. 5 weeks until the college football season gets underway. NFL in September. High schools are back in session. They're going through their acclimation period for heat exhaustion and all that stuff. Heat, getting ready for the heat on the field. That's what I should call it. So it's all right there, right around the corner. But there's other things going on, too, in the world of sports. We're brought to you by the good people at Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Tysick is chairman of the board. If anything goes wrong with this show, it's totally his fault and not mine. I mean, the obvious story, I guess here in Phoenix, even the obvious story, it's not Jacoby Brissett going to the Cardinals camp. It's LeBron. So, you know, I like to have fun with cards, and we're going to do a little bit of card shopping. If you're a business, you're sitting there watching at work right now, like, man, I don't like what I'm doing. I wish I had a LeBron card that was worth X, Y, or Z. Or you may be sitting on cards of LeBron's. I can talk about him going to Philadelphia. I can do the whole, wow, is this going to be good? Is this not going to be? Can he and Jaylen Brown work out together? It's July. can they work out together? It doesn't matter until we get it to next April when the playoffs start. I'm excited about LeBron going to Philadelphia. I truly am. I'm sure the commissioner and the people that do business are excited. This is a business deal, as we like to say. The NBA has had LeBron James, their most marketable item, at 7:30 at night on the West Coast, tipping at 10:30 on the East for years. East Coast TV viewership, they're not staying up till midnight or 1 in the morning, are they? Did that have anything to do with it? I mean, LeBron could take a contract that's not very much. 2-year deal. It's the NBA saying, hey, man, wink, 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 go there. Do I think that stuff happens? Absolutely. It's just like, I've been in this long enough to know that when things happen that you're just, what? Now, LeBron, in fairness, met with Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid said, I'm ready to go. And maybe this is the best thing for Joel Embiid, or maybe Joel Embiid continues to be one of the most underperforming players, overrated players in the NBA. Maybe that's what happens here. Maybe Jaylen Brown gets this chip off his shoulder. Maybe Vijay Edgecombe becomes just a super, super, superstar. Maybe Tyrese Maxey's the best player out of all of them. Like, I look at what Philly has, and you know you're going to get a heavy dose. It's going to be 50, 60 games of the 76ers on national television. It's going to be Philly plays New York, Philly plays Miami, Philly plays Boston. Just go around the league. My hope is the one time that LeBron does come here, when Philly comes here, it's not a back-to-back, and it's a back-to-back where he's saying, yeah, I'm not playing tonight. And it could be either way. It could be the front end or the back end. You know, if it's Phoenix on a Thursday and Friday night it's at Los Angeles against the Lakers, guess what? He's not playing against Phoenix, probably, with how things go. Load management. But, you know, in terms of the card stuff, so we got together the other night, Tysick and I chopped it up the other night. We did a whole card segment with our good buddies over at Monster Card Shop, Kyle Reno and the crew, and we were going around the cost of cards and what card looks cool and what card does not look cool. The first card that LeBron is going to have with Philadelphia, there's some people that said that this card was released early. I think that's tight, man. I think that's a sweet looking card. They're only going to have, it's a one of one. It's got his autograph. They're going to stick it in packs. You know, people are going to chase that card. Look at that. Beautiful. Just beautiful. But you know, what does it do for the whole LeBron brand? You could be one of those, like, I can't stand him, or all I do is want to go out and collect LeBron James cards. So we're going to go into that whole sports memorabilia side in a little bit later in the show, with Kyle Reno over at Monster Card Shop. Your Cardinals. Actually, they're my Cardinals right now because they haven't played a game yet. They'll be yours shortly. Jacoby Brissett comes to camp. So exciting, aren't we? Now, I will say this about about where the Cardinals are with how they handle Jacoby Brissett. Could be a whole chip on your shoulder. Could be a whole, I'm going to go play in Phoenix, ball out, and I'm out of there the minute that I become a free agent because I'm going to do a great job. Could be he doesn't make it through the season. It could be how much do you see of the Cardinals' first team offense when they go play in the Hall of Fame game against Carolina? And all I'm going to say on that is God created a DVR for a reason. There's not a chance I'm going to be sitting there watching that live, because there's going to be more guys that are going to be built up. They're going to be cut. That's how it goes. I get it. You're excited for football to come back. Some of you, you can't wait because you want to bet. Some of you are in the fantasy football space like me. And I'm looking at the Cardinals saying, you know, I might look at a guy this year, because we all know Michael Wilson last season. I shouldn't say we all know. We know that those of us that followed the team, Michael Wilson had a breakout season with Jacoby Brissett. We know that Trey McBride is one of the top five tight ends in the league. And by the way, he did not need to apologize for talking about the fan base here in Arizona. What he said is 100% right. So anyway, oh man, he's hating on us. Reality sucks, doesn't it? Marvin Harrison Jr. is a guy I'm just looking at. Like, I'm starting to feel like the B word is coming into play. And the B word that goes UST. I'm not there yet, but I'm pretty sure if I'm playing a game of figure it out, that the B is out, and then the rest of it we'll just have to wait and see. But Jacoby's going to take first team reps tomorrow at camp. What does that mean? It means cameras are going to show Jacoby Brissett throwing to players who are wide open. Oh, he looks really good. You know, does Carson Beck get most of the snaps? You know, we hear things like this time of year, it's Carson Beck looks really good. Yeah, he's throwing against nobody, or he's throwing against guys who are going to get cut. And then the season starts. It's what the heck? We thought he was so great. This is a time of year where our industry is deceiving. We're going to build this bad boy up, because heaven forbid we speak what's really going on. And when the team blows, it's, well, how did this happen? So I'm not sitting here with false hope. I think Mike LaFleur is great to come here. But, you know, every coach comes to Arizona, we see what happens. It's a revolving door. So prove me wrong. That's all. Just prove me wrong. And so that's all I'm looking for. My Diamondbacks. So my Diamondbacks were not good over the weekend at Washington. And they have a series starting this week, tonight, in Pittsburgh. It's three games. You may say, who cares? It's Pittsburgh. It's the middle of summer. It's 115. No, I care, and I see what's going on here with them. They're trying to hang in there. They're trying to hang in there. And they've got the wild card spot by a game right now, a game over Pittsburgh, Washington. There's five teams that are behind them by 2.5 games or less. So, and over the weekend, they threw two rookies out at Washington who weren't a part of the discussion at the start of the season. It's the pitching staff is beat up. So now it does fall here on Merrill Kelly and Eduardo Rodriguez and Brandon Pfaadt. Those three are lined up for Pittsburgh. Okay. And you got to take care of business there. And then they go on to Cleveland and have the two rookies throw again, unless some help comes along the way. College football. We'll talk with Wilner here in a couple of minutes. Big Ten football media days get started today in Chicago. Last week was the SEC media days. I thought the commissioner of the SEC talking about, we're just going to go take our ball, go have our own rules, go have our own conference. It's kind of funny. How would that impact Arizona and Arizona State and the Big 12? That's what I look at. How does all this stuff impact what goes on here? So we'll get a national view from John Wilner on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. This is Sports 360 AZ. All right, as promised, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, all things college sports. We are 5 weeks away from kickoff. Seems a little longer. I don't really need to know why, but it just feels like, John, we're almost there.
Can I tell you anyhow?
Sure, go for it. Tell me why.
It's because of when Labor Day falls.
Oh.
So this year happens to be rare that Memorial Day was the earliest it could be, and Labor Day is the latest it could be. Which is great for summer, but it means a longer wait for college football, because the season, the first full week of the season, week one, is tied till Labor Day weekend. So we got to wait till basically September, what is it, 5th? You know, in the past, it would have been August 31st, August 30th. But we got to wait an extra week. Now, that's going to end because they're going to eventually be playing on week zero. And I think you get a few more years out of it, a few more years out. They're going to move the playoff championship game into early January. And I believe that eventually they're going to start college football season like August 15th, August 20th, because that's a dead window, right? Nobody cares about NFL exhibition. So it's actually a great window for college football to take advantage of the third, fourth weekends in August.
Why not August 1st?
Then if you, well, because then you've got issues with, you know, recruiting and training camp and coaches vacation and the close of school for quarter system school. I mean, it's all tied together. A Big Ten executive once described to me as it's basically a train, the calendar, and if they want everything to move together. They don't want this the train separating in the middle and going two different ways. So if they move the playoff, that affects transfer portal, it affects spring practices, it affects training camp, it affects the start of the season. They want it all to move together. So if they move the championship game up, then they need to move everything else basically back. So the season would start earlier. They would get rid of spring practice and just have like OTAs. We're getting to that point. Maybe 28, 29, I think you'll see games like August 20th.
Oh, I am all for that. I am all down with that. There is so much in the news cycle that I want to get to. But before we get really news cycle heavy, I think the most important part is this week with the Protect College Sports Act. This may feel like a white dot on a white wall to some people, but those of us that love college football and love college sports, this is a big deal that may or may not happen this week. What's the
huge
latest?
Huge deal. So, yes, we don't want to get in the weeds and bore everybody with the partial antitrust protections and limited liability, blah, 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 blah. But it has a huge effect, this bill, on conference expansion, realignment, things, the Super League, the things that people do care about, right? It is possible that they are going to freeze conference expansion, which would kind of lock everybody in for a long time. It's possible there'll be some kind of partial freeze. It's possible there'll be no freeze. But what happens in that bill regarding expansion is going to kind of put college football on a course for the next 5-10 years for what it's going to look like, whether we'll see a Super League, whether the Big Ten and SEC will expand to, say, 24, whether the ACC will implode, go poof, you know, will the Big 12 become a 24, 28 team league? All of that is tied to what happens in this bill. And to me, that's the aspect that should resonate the most with fans. And so the latest is it may not get to the floor. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said last week he doesn't think it's going to get to the floor before the August recess, which could be problematic because with the midterms, it's less likely to get taken up in the Senate and the House this year. And if the House switches to Democrat control next year, the bill will have a much harder time passing. So bottom line, if this bill does not get voted on in the Senate by the end of next week, the chances of it passing are pretty slim. And that will then have that domino effect on future expansion.
John Wilner with us for a few minutes as we talk about college football, the start of the season, just about 5 weeks away. John dropped a great column over on Sports 360 about the Big Ten, the preview of it. So let's get into that. The Big Ten this week in Chicago, they're having their meetings this week. They're going to roll everything out. Everybody's going to be excited. It's going to be, the greatest thing ever. Or is it, John, when you look at the Big Ten? Tony Petitti's got to address what happened last week at the SEC. He's got to follow Greg Sankey and what was said. So what about Big Ten? Let's just look at that from a 30,000-foot view.
Well, so I think it was the great Steve Spurrier that coined the phrase talking season. And talking season now is July. The Big Ten is the last conference to hold its summer media event. Petitti will be on the stage Tuesday, which is significant on a couple levels. One is that he just doesn't talk very often. He is not like Sankey or Brett Yormark at the Big 12. who conducts a lot of media events over the course of the year. Petitti keeps a low profile. The fact he's on stage is news. The fact that he has several momentous issues he's got to address makes it that much more important. One is the latest on the Protect College Sports Act, because the Big Ten and the SEC have been against it. Mm-hmm. Are they coming to some kind of meeting in the middle point where the Big Ten and SEC are in favor of it, but the ACC and Big 12 are also still in favor? That's one issue. The other, you know, college football playoff expansion, right? Petitti is the author of the 24-team model, which some people love and some people hate. What is the latest on that? You know, he and Greg Sankey basically control the format. And does Petitti think they're moving closer to expanding to 24, or are they going to basically stay at 12? And that's for the 27 season, right? I should say the 26 season, it's 12-team playoff. The other issue is, which came up at the SEC meetings last week, the breakaway, right? Could the SEC and or Big Ten eventually break away from the NCAA and kind of just do their own thing, right? Petitti will be asked about that, what he says. It'll be interesting to see if he's willing to go as far as Sankey did in explaining the frustration within his memberships. SEC presidents are very frustrated with the state of things. Are the Big Ten presidents at that point as well? Does Petitti think that if the Protect College Sports Act doesn't pass, that his presidents will push for, again, the breakaway? You have to define it. It's probably a self-governance issue where they set their own rules, but they continue playing the other leagues. We'll see. But those are three huge issues Petitti's got to address. And then there's all the other stuff about the actual football within the Big Ten, right? You know, Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, you know, is USC, is this USC's year? Who's going to be the next surprise team? There's all that stuff that will play out. But Petitti's remarks Tuesday morning are going to be closely watched.
Yeah, I feel like from a just pure football standpoint, the most interesting story, there's a lot of them in the Big Ten, but Michigan with Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah.
Michigan's schedule, by the way, is a joke. I'm just got to say that right off the top. I know they're going to play Indiana late in the season. They play the Ohio State game, but go look at their first. They're at home, John. Five of the first 6 weeks, the one team they're playing is Minnesota on the road. Come on. They're going to be sitting there in Cupcake City walking through to like two or three games is really what it's going to come down to. I think that's an interesting story. I think if you look at Indiana and can they come back and do what they did last year, are they a one-year wonder? What about you? What do you see in the Big Ten, the storylines?
Well, certainly what you mentioned is a huge deal, not just Michigan specifically, but the conference schedule rotation generally, right? Yeah, 18 teams, you play 9 conference games. So there's a lot of teams that you miss. And who you miss is as important as who you play. You mentioned Michigan. Ohio State's got to play Michigan, Oregon, and Indiana this year. It's Ohio State's toughest schedule in eons. And that will have a huge impact on how teams perform, because you can identify the biggest games, and then you know there's going to be one sleeper team that makes things very difficult as well. So yeah, the scheduling's huge. I also, you know, to me, the kind of the big picture issue with the Big Ten is that it's so top heavy, right? Indiana, Oregon, Ohio State, all national title contenders, maybe Michigan too, but the middle of the Big Ten is much softer than the middle of the SEC. That's the difference between the two. To me, Big Ten's is better at the top, but the SEC has better depth, which makes for more playoff contenders and better games during the course of the season. So I want to know, you know, are the Minnesotas and the UCLAs and the Illinois and the Michigan States, like, is there any indication, even at USC, that they are now going to kind of emerge as a higher level team? Because the Big Ten, there's a lot of fat and not much meat with an 18 team leagues, and you only have like 3 or 4 elite teams.
Right. I mean, Rutgers, you know,
Maryland. Rutgers, Maryland, Purdue. I mean, you know, that is cupcake city.
But I'll throw one at you, Penn State. Penn State's going to be really interesting this season. Matt Campbell goes in up there. They've done a great job from what I can read and hear. in terms of putting their portal together and what they brought in. I think Penn State could be one of those schools this year on a national space, to your point, that, well, the Big Ten's a bunch of cupcakes. You know, UCLA, they may bounce back and all that stuff. Lincoln Riley in a minute. Not yet, but we're going to get to Lincoln Riley. But is Penn State one of those you keep an eye on, John?
For sure. I think Campbell's a terrific coach and was a great hire for them. The interesting piece for me with Penn State is that he brought a ton of guys from Iowa State, including quarterback Rocco Beck. So in some ways, watching Penn State is going to be to watch how a very good group of Big 12 players perform in the Big 10. Mm-hmm. Because Iowa State, you know, they're like, when they were healthy, they were probably a top third Big 12 team. Are those guys good enough? Because he's going to have a lot of starters from Ohio State. Are those guys good enough to be good in the Big 10? That, to me, is going to be fascinating to watch, to kind of give us an indication as to the different disparity in talent between the two conferences, because you're just basically moving one roster over to another league.
John Wilner with us. All right, before I get you out here, I'm going to run three coaches by you. We will circle back into the Big 10. But I want to throw three coaches out there and get your view, because I believe that they are on the hot seat with the season getting underway.
All right, hot seat talk. Let's go. Yeah,
but the hot seat could, you know, the hot seat may just be warm, okay?
Okay.
It may just be tepid. So I think Steve Sarkisian at Texas,
okay,
if they don't have a good season, I think, and what's a good season for Texas? You know, if they go undefeated and all that stuff, coming off a great year, Arch Manning, all that stuff, all these returners, if they lose 2-3 games, he's gone, in my opinion.
I don't know if I quite agree. I think if it, you have to almost define it instead of loss count, are they going to make the playoff? Because with a 12-team playoff, and you're Texas, you're thinking we need to be in that thing every year. He was in the 14 playoff in 23, and he made the 12-team playoff in 24. And then last year, if you remember, you know, they were one of those just left out. I think they finished ranked like 14th. So if they miss the playoff, I don't know if he's going to get fired, but there will be immense pressure on him next year.
These are Texas fans.
Yeah.
Crazy.
If they lose three games, if they lose three games and they don't make it, I don't know if he'd get fired. I don't know. It'd be close. I'm not
close. Close counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. What are you talking about? Close. Texas, the Bevo, they'd get a new Bevo. If they lose three games with Arch Manning after all the hype, all the buildup, all the everything. Come on.
They're one of the two favorites in the SEC with Georgia. So there's a ton of pressure on him. I don't know. I think it'll be a coin flip. If they go 9-3 and miss a playoff, I think it's a coin flip as to whether he gets fired.
Okay. Hotter seat, to me, without question, is over at USC. And that, you know, Sark was there, but now let's go over to USC, because Lincoln Riley, we spoke about this last year. Last year, I felt like he was going to be on the hot seat. John, he's got to be on a warmer seat than Sark.
Oh, for sure. His seat is the temperature of your sidewalk this afternoon, Brad.
I could fry an egg on that sidewalk.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably could have fried an egg on the sidewalk at 3 a.m. But yes, tons of pressure on Riley, and they have a better roster. They have poured millions into their support staff, millions into their roster to get it to a playoff caliber level. If he does not make the playoff this year, I think he's gone. That the big question with Riley has always been the buyout. My hunch, and I don't know for sure because at USC's, you know, everything's private. I believe his buyout's going to be around $70 million. And I just think there will be, if they don't make the playoff, that they will find the money to make the change, despite the university's financial constraints these days. He's got a very good roster. They absolutely should. I mean, you know, it depends on who they beat and who they lose to, but, 10-2, 9-3, he should get into the playoff with a record like that. And if he doesn't, out, toast.
Okay, here's one other one. Let's go back to the Big Ten. Jed Fish is sitting up there at Washington.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, we covered Jed at U of A, and it didn't end well for Jed. He was at UCLA. He's bounced around. He's got up to Washington, and I kind of feel like even last year we thought Florida or somewhere else he's going to end up. Is his seat warm at all?
It is not warm now. If they are 8-4, 7-5. I believe it will be very warm by December. Not warm enough for a change, but it will put them on the hot seat for next year, right? Oh. You could see their build, right? They were totally gutted. When DeBoer left after that playoff run, completely gutted. He had Fish had, I think, 21 new starters in the 24 season. And you could see they were okay. They were average, and they had to adjust to the Big Ten. And then last year, they were pretty good. You know, they were very good at home, but they didn't beat any good teams. That's the problem with them. Washington has handled the mediocre teams, but fared poorly against the good teams. This year, especially with a soft non-conference schedule, and also, you know, they drew a pretty favorable Big Ten rotation this year. If you look at their schedule, it's not very strong. They finished with Indiana and Oregon, but if, you know, if they've only got one loss by the middle of November, they're going to have a heck of a chance to get into the playoff, and that's not an unreasonable outcome for them. So I would say Fish, seat right now, cool. If they miss the playoff, seat in December is going to be pretty warm, and next August, hot.
About Damon Williams' seat, because he grew up right down the street from where I'm sitting right now, a mile and a half away, watched him do so many great things. You wrote about it in your column, Wilner Hotline, that airs over on sports360az.com. You can see John's thoughts there written, because his thoughts with me are like me, all over the place, which is great. Damon Williams, what do you think the reaction is going to be to him this week?
I think he's going to get, you know, grilled pretty good about that foray into the transfer portal. He didn't actually enter, but remember he announced he was going to enter the transfer portal in early January after signing a multi-year deal with Washington, right? Huge story, stunning development. He eventually reversed course and said, no, I'm not going to enter the portal. I'm coming back, blah, blah, blah. After Washington basically said, if you leave, you owe us millions for contract violation. So has he regained the trust of the players in that locker room? You know, there's no way for us to really know that until the season unfolds. But he is going to get asked about that whole situation this week. And I'll be curious to see what he says about the reassimilation process, about the culture, about accountability, those kind of things, because you have to have that with your quarterback, right? If you're going to win tough games on the road in league play, there has got to be a level of trust and accountability, especially with the quarterback, in his relationship with the rest of the offense and the rest of the team. And what he says this week, I think, is going to give us some clues as to what we'll see from the Huskies when they get into those very high stress situations.
Good stuff as always, John. Appreciate your time and insight. See you next week.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And that's John Wilner. We're back with more after this timeout. All right, an emergency edition of In the Cards with Monster Card Shop and Kyle Reno, because LeBron today makes the announcement that he's going to Philadelphia. So right out of the gate, let us show the card that is already circulating around, Kyle. And what do you make of this, and how does this impact the card industry, this decision?
Yeah, so first of all, that card's awesome. And obviously a Philly fan is going to want that thing, and the chase is going to be on and in those Tops Now packs. I'll probably end up buying quite a few to get a shot at it. I think it's worth it. How does it impact the card industry? I would say anything LeBron that comes out Sixers uniform, like that first set LeBron Sixers uniform, that's going to be a really expensive card for probably 90 days. Okay. It's going to be worth a lot. I have concerns about Lakers uniform LeBron stuff dropping a little bit. I think that's definitely a possibility.
We'll get to that in a minute, because I've got some to show you, because I think the market for LeBron is one of those where part of it is, you tell me, he's really liked and he's really not liked. This is not like there's a side of LeBron that there's the haters and there's the lovers. So from a collector's standpoint, is this just going to push the market to new heights? Because let's go back to his rookie card. You know, we've got the rookie card here. That card is, I'm seeing $225,000 online for that card for a perfect 10.
Yeah, and that's like the white refractor version of it. So that's an insane card. That's a ridiculously awesome card. I think that his rookies, like the base version of that card, once he retires, is gonna see a nice influx. And if the Sixers could make a run, his stuff is going to increase, especially that early rookie stuff. That set will increase if the Sixers make a run. It's kind of like a Brady to the Bucks type thing. I mean, if Brady doesn't win with the Bucks, the Brady Bucks cards probably, like, people are like, I don't want these cards. But he won. I kind of feel the same with this. I think LeBron Sixers stuff, if they go win and they make a run, is gonna go way up. I think that his rookie stuff is gonna go way up if they can make a run. Is it championship or bust is the question. And in today's world, it probably is.
Okay, so on the rookie stuff, we've got that card, but we also have this card. Those are the two from his rookie set. You've got some stuff of LeBron's because you just got off the set over there at MasterCard. And so you've got some stuff too. Is this one worth much? Is that, let's go back to that one, Tysik. Yeah. Is that one worth much?
That is, I'm trying to see, the bottom that set. That card right there is not one of his, like, what you would call staple rookie cards. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's not the Topps flagship or Topps Chrome or Bowman Chrome. That's not what it is. Phenomenal card. It is worth, a little bit, quite a bit. Obviously, the better condition, if you can get a PSA 10 or a BGS 9.5 or 10, it's worth more. I would not consider that like a staple of what you would want in a LeBron rookie card. Fantastic card still.
Okay, so the one that we showed first of all of him with Cleveland is the one that
Yes.
you're is the one to go chase that one there.
Yes.
Let's go over to Miami. So Miami, he goes to Miami. Is LeBron stuff at Miami, or is it just Brad? Look, anything LeBron at any one of his stops today with this news of Philadelphia is gonna go up. People are gonna chase even harder now.
So the funny thing is, I had a conversation with somebody about LeBron Miami stuff recently. Believe it or not, LeBron Miami stuff does really well. Like nice refractors, good patches, just the Miami colors. It sells extremely well, even though it's not a rookie card. LeBron Miami stuff is coveted, and I do wonder if it's because that is like, I don't know, a top two player we've ever seen, LeBron Miami, during that time. And that show was fantastic with him and Wade and Bosch. I think maybe that's the reason. LeBron Miami stuff does well. I mean, that card right there, it's a common. It's a few bucks, but his stuff that has like maybe a jersey in it with Miami, or maybe it's a refractor or it's a numbered card with Miami, performs really well.
Okay, let's go over to the Lakers then. He just left Los Angeles. There's a ton of Los Angeles stuff. This card here and others with the Lakers.
That would be the only set that I'm worried about. Obviously, this card number to 10, this Topps Chrome card, I'm not worried about that card. I'm worried about maybe your mid-level or lower level Lakers stuff. I think that there's still a large Lakers crowd that is like Team Kobe or Team LeBron. Still, I don't know that they all jumped on, and loved LeBron like they'll always love Kobe. And I do think that his Lakers stuff could suffer a little.
Okay. LeBron, we don't have one here, but LeBron and Bronny together obviously is going to be a big deal. And when Philadelphia plays Los Angeles, there's going to be some more. I just feel like this is somewhat scripted. There's going to be some moments where dad's guarding son or son's guarding dad, and those are going to end up being cards. That's down the road on this, but I just think from a standpoint of people that want to just collect LeBron because they like it, that's one thing. If they're in it to win it financially and try to invest and go after it and make money, the LeBron rookie is the one where you're going, or the one at Philadelphia that people are all going to chase, that very first one we started with.
I think having that Philly chase is a ton of fun. And the way that Topps does those tops now is it makes it affordable to chase. And I think those cards are going to be hot for a bit. So I'm actually I'm on the positive side of that LeBron Phillies card, especially the first LeBron Philadelphia Sixers cards that come out. I think, yeah, go grab them. I do think they have a shelf life. I think maybe 90, 120 days, and then his regular stuff will start coming out. So I think if you're an investor, at short term, and that Bowman Chrome and Topps Chrome, anything early LeBron, I truthfully think he is so undervalued in our hobby right now. He's going to get his roses when he retires, or if he has a great run here with Philly. Either way, I think LeBron stuff is extremely undervalued.
What do you have in front of you? You had one today. And by the way, if you guys are wondering where Reno is, you have your studio that you've mm-hmm. been doing your live shows from, right?
Yep. So we have four studios, and we go live on Fanatics Live 7 days a week, like 364 days a year for 16 hours a day, nonstop. We're breaking basketball cards, baseball cards, football cards, Marvel cards, Pokemon cards, Disney cards, everything cards. We open nonstop.
That's awesome. But you have one of LeBron you said you just picked up?
Yeah, so I went to a card show in L.A. actually. Right. And so this was an SSP. It's called a blank slate LeBron in his Lakers uni. I love this card. I thought it was undervalued. It's a set from a box called Court Kings, and they're really tough to pull. Hmm. And I just love the way these look. And now I'm like, dang. because I do think that they lose a little bit of value, you know, now that he's going to Philly.
How much you pay for it, if you don't mind me asking, Reno?
Man, I want to say it was $250 to $300. That would be mine. Yeah.
Now, after this bit of news, what would you pay for it?
Well, I'm a LeBron like kind of guy that like I believe in the long term of LeBron. Okay. I don't even know that I would have bought this at the show after.
If you knew he was in Philly.
Yes. I knew he was going to move on. I was hoping, you know, elsewhere, maybe a little farewell tour action, but it didn't happen. I do think he's going to have success in Philly. So I think the Lakers stuff takes a small hit.
Okay. Last question for you. And I appreciate you. This is an emergency session with Reno. Monster Card Shop, because the big breaking news is LeBron going to Philadelphia. What does this do for his teammates around him at Philadelphia? You're going to have Jaylen Brown stuff, which will go. Edgecombe was huge last year. Mm-hmm. Maxey is huge. Embiid is, you know, the whole thing about Embiid's health is another discussion if we're just having sports talk. But from a collector's standpoint, would you encourage people that are going after LeBron to now chase Philadelphia 76er stuff?
This is a really hard question. And I was having a conversation about this earlier with staff. It depends on numbers are going to go down for some of these guys.
Right.
That's just the truth. Now, collectors have really started to value winning. And even some of these second and third guys on the teams, they see boosts when the team is winning. So two things can be true. I think Maxey is not going to have the ball in his hands as much. And I think he's phenomenal with the ball in his hands. Hopefully him and LeBron get some repertoire and they figure that part out. Jaylen Brown, I don't think this is nothing but positive for him, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid, gosh, I'd say the only way to go up for Embiid cards right now is up. Yeah. So his market was really hot when he was healthy and playing well, and he looked like he was a top big in the league. And every time he gets hurt, it just continues to suffer and it doesn't recover. if he can stay healthy and they can make a run, Embiid stuff will definitely see an uptick. Brown stuff will see an uptick. Edgecombe, I think he's young. I hope he learns from LeBron. He's really exciting. The guy that I'm worried about, because he won't be up and downhill as much if LeBron's going to handle the ball, is Maxey.
Yeah.
But out of all those guys, I think Maxey may have the most talent. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Good stuff there. I appreciate you doing the emergency session with us on LeBron. Thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.